and external business to respond to the record of the report, and that this is taken on the chart recording that we reserve the opinion or any other matter that we want to do in this report. In our response, we respect the rules for the development of the meeting. One item on our agenda today, we're having to come up with here in House Bill 376 by Representative Kaufman relating to the executive budget hours. Before we move into that, we're going to have a presentation by the director of the manager who will describe the current process the administration uses for agency performance measures and incorporating mission statements into the budgeting process. Available as well, we have Amber Rutherford Jones, special policy analyst for Randall and me, and I will come forward. I think we need to change the presentation. Maybe we need to run the presentation. Okay, we're just going to talk. All right, that's it. And I will take periodic breaks to just make sure that representatives have a chance to ask any questions that you may have. But representatives, if you have a question or anything, just put your hand up. All right, so you want to do it.
Thank you for the record, Neil Sanger, Director of Office of Management and Budget. And thank you for having me come before the committee to talk about our current budgeting process as a way of giving some context to some of the thoughts and ideas discussed in HB 676. I don't have a full presentation, but if folks want to interject with questions about how the budget process works, feel free to let me. But just at a high level, for the state's budget process in the executive branch, while the budget process in the legislative branch really is confined to the legislative session, starting in January and ending 90 days after that, the budget process in the executive branch really starts the day that the conference committee passes the final budget and gets passed out of both bodies of the legislature. On that day, we start in our process in developing the next year's budget. That process has a lot of different phases and steps to it. Some of the language that we use on the executive branch and bleeds over into discussions that we have in the legislative branch as well. But really is an internal process as we both accommodate changes made to the budget from the governor's budget to what's finally enacted, changes made from leaders, and how that sets up a foundation as we work towards the governor's budget. So when we receive that conference committee report, go to the legislature. Our first step is to work through that field review process with the departments and the governor and think through how does that impact our program plans going forward. And what changes need to be made to the plans that we made at the prior December that we need to see developed and establishing the next year's budget. We do that through what we call the authorized process internally. That refers to the authorized budget. That's not conference committee, the actions taken, and official notes for past legislation. So that builds what we internally call the authorized budget. It's somewhat similar to what the finance calls the investment based budget, but has a little bit of a different characteristic because it's more focused on the execution and operation of state agency programs, and less focused on the iterative change decision making process that the legislature has. So, internal to the agency, here is that what we are authorized to spend back in the fiscal year. From that authorized number, we build what we call a management plan. And while management plan isn't necessarily directly called out in statute, it really is a reflection of those program and financial plans discussed in the Executive Budget Act. So that's where we have state agencies look at how much we are authorized, but then inform the Office of Management and Budget and the governor of how that money is actually going to get spent. So that's where they lay out the detailed financial information that they call for in the Executive Budget Act, what we refer to as our revenue detail and our expenditure detail reports and reports for annual budget books. That information defines the line items, specific expenditures, specific contracts that the departments are intending to engage in, as well as the number of PCNs, salary levels, classification information. And it's a very large volume of information that the departments are putting together, generally with a due date towards the end office of management and budget with more specific guidance on what the governor's office is looking for the development of the next year's budget. And part of that includes requests both for, whether they're targets or objectives or the kind of government's mission and vision for the state for that following fiscal year. That's laid out in that memo to explain to the department what we're looking for from them and how they think about their mission and vision in parallel to their departments. And that really is informed by, some of that work that happened in the draft of the committee. We start those conversations internally and as we're making decisions on how to execute the budget, what we're looking at, how it sets us up, and it positions us well for building a budget for the following fiscal year. That's all of the book. I have a couple of questions for that one. Sorry, Terry.
Wonderful. Thank you. You're very welcome. Good to see you. I was wondering if you could give me an example of the work that level was saying. So, the data department and how they need to help inform the listener about what the area wants to happen.
Yes, to the chair representative story. So it's always, every year we're going to be different, but as you would expect, a good example here when, not this past year's memo, but the year before, one of the biggest things that we're asking agencies is how are you responding to the sudden shift in workforce from working in the office to working remotely? And at that point, we were couple of weeks, couple of months, and we were asking for specific deliverables, whether it was, a narrative response or, some big contextual information about, number of employees that have gone out of the office, what types of work went out of the office, and asking departments to reflect upon that and think about how that was initially impacting delivery of services. But then also, if even with those early changes, there's starting to see signs of how there could be either bias or detrimental impact of services, if that was felt at the time, hopefully temporary, but if that became a longer term way of doing business, which I think as we're seeing is becoming a longer term way of doing business. So we ask those kinds of questions of, how can what's ready? Kind of effect on how can what's ready? Oftentimes there will be, questions about, look at the individual programs in your agency, let's look at your statutory obligations, and, weigh those against the current reality of government services in the state, and provide advice and information on that. So it's variable every year, it has a lot to do with what's going on at the time. So, then this year, we're a year into telework. We asked more questions about, what are your longer term thoughts on space needs, things like that. Because we're trying to think about this year and the next year, but we're talking about things like that that can shift from getting that information now and set us up for budget change we may need 4 years from now. Hopefully, as we have all that information, it continues to be useful so we have a sense of it.
Wonderful. Just one follow-up. So, what you primarily said to us, part of this summer, the overall goals has been not to, obviously, it's creating efficiencies, but to have as small as any breach of debt as possible, as they grow out of the values of the governor.
So, if you're representing that story, certainly at times when we're facing large budget deficits, that's a big piece of the goal of the office is ensuring that limited resources are prioritized well. But even that as a sub-goal really is working towards the goal of delivering services well and operating the departments the best they can be. Because it's not always that we're going to operate in environments of the constraint that we've faced in the last several years. But even when you're not facing budget constraint, you still want to be operating the departments well. And at the end of the day, regardless of budget deficit, budget surplus, regardless of whether we're trying to think when we're trying to deliver services and offer
them. Thank you. Mr. Slade, can you talk about the role of the performance measures indicators as well? You're in the region that currently the administration doesn't apply as part of the budget is tight, but this is what we need to be aligning with what I expect behavior that your team are doing and what I think you're talking about the way that the performance measures indicators are incorporated into your plans.
Yes, Chair's problem. So the performance measures come with the production of the performance measures in the annual budget process. Later into the process, makes an impact building a foundation. A foundation of what that curriculum is going to look like. The performance measures themselves are a living document. You're constantly working on it. You're constantly working to try and meet those objectives. Where they come into the annual budget cycle is in that internal discussion in the department. They've received that memo. They're working on their proposals to have submitted their budget in the governor's office on their recommendations for where we take their department in the next fiscal year. During that time period, they're also looking at the performance measures that they set, whether it's something recently or something 20 years ago, looking at their performance measures and seeing, gathering the data, basically gathering the data to show whether they've met those measures or haven't met those measures. It really varies department by department how much attention is given to that process and how frequently they are changing the questions we're asking about how they're performing. So some departments have taken the current system, the current mechanical system of performance measures and information put into the budget books, the charts and tables posted on the MLB website, all of that information, the kind of mechanical systems that we have for presentation of the information. Some departments have taken that and embraced it as a way to truly advertise the work that they're doing and show the accomplishments and the efforts that they've been putting in to make things better for the state through the services that some have done a very active job of it and spent time on an annual basis discussing their leadership meetings, that activity. Others have relied upon performance measures that were put together 20 years ago and continue to just update those. And they look at performance and how different departments have different mechanical needs and don't necessarily fit into that same box that's set up right now. But it enters into the budget discussions at every stage, but not necessarily as normally. It's always something that's sort of been discussed. Nobody is putting together their budget recommendations for their department. It's actually thinking about what's best for the service delivery for the department. But whether it's a formal process in that agency to say which of our core mission, which branch of our core mission does this specific request fit into. There are departments that do that more actively, and there are departments that do that more passively.
And to which department you're using them on, on a really sort of active management role versus other services, that it stays static and it's reflection. Focusing in on those annual performance indicators.
So, what I've seen a really good example to look at of a department that has kind of ingrained into the culture of the department mission and vision statements and how they operate, what they're doing, I think about that education. For the Alaska Education Challenge, they really do look at these different aspects of what they're trying to achieve as a department and look at everything that they do in that moment. I might just be biased because I worked there for a number of months, and so I had that experience of different groups in my department seeing how those work, how I do, and how does this change impact this mission or vision, and how does it fit into delivering education to students? I think that's a really good example of where our department has taken an effort into the actual department culture and trying to make that fit within these systems.
And I heard there are other requirements like that to whether or not using them effectively.
Sorry, I don't want to really shame any departments, but one, but before we were coming here, we were looking at the budget month here in the Office of Management and Budget. Our key accomplishment of fiscal year 21 listed in the budget book for the Office of Management and Budget is that we delivered the December budget submission on time. So you can kind of consider him back on probably your far and down spectrum of how well that is used.
Really wrong with that, and we just had a joint meeting and set them for those five categories. And the 11 provides just on what they were doing in each of the categories. I want to turn attention to cancer, community, and health therapy. And Senator Stevens' comments that he's never had all the diseases in neurotherapy, which has been around in education people for a long time, seems to be a presentation from the state board to the legislature. And last year, the House Education Committee put in recognizing the language about new models and now what the reading curriculum of one of our districts was learning. And I was in that magazine because, of course, we're looking at improving our literacy scores. And so that report was put in the legislature on January 22nd, and you can see what they're doing. And the department is using that information, obviously, to talk to districts about that reading curriculum is really bringing them the results they want. And we have a great example of how the different policy papers across how big decisions and appropriation need to be working together for resource in our nation model. So I just wanted to say that for the resource is not deep.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that part of the reason that it was so focused on race, both at the companies and leadership, but also, you know, behind the process, and that was a big broad planning process that involved a lot of stakeholders. I participated in that process as the, commissioners and stakeholders from all across the state, and I was primarily interested in including education. And so, broad stakeholder alignment and committed leadership, that means a lot of ownership in a process. And you know,
accomplishments that you made or that you didn't focus enough on certain elements, and therefore there is a combination of the two. Basically, we're quite on the other hand now dealing with conflict over money coming in, trying to figure out how to manage that, make sure it's going in the best direction for the state, doing all of that work, and not necessarily in the page of that briefing, step back and say, how are we doing? You know, we're going to be in 6 months and we've been doing the work, you've been around trying to do the work. And when you know that somebody's going to look up at that product, explaining what you did and all of that, and it's going to ask you questions about it. It happens so fast, it takes some time to see the pattern of things. And so, that, and sometimes I'm asking how long the interactive pages is trying to get budget objectives and work through budget deliverables and put together the best budget we can. Part of that, and part of we ask questions, leading questions, in order to get the department to supply something better deliberately. For example, the example I used of deliberately seeking early signals in the pandemic, asking the department to deliberately signal how that work was going to change the department, was to try to force them to take that step back, not just to live in the moment of the backyard. Employees will get them safe, and you start thinking like, as we're all dealing with the pandemic, but how should we support that? And that's the purpose of one question that we ask is to try to get those agencies to take a step back and think about what they're doing and why. And, it's really easy then not to apply the same standard to ourselves, and I think that kind of shows in our budget work. Yeah. Thank
you. Decided to make a party in their house and 50 people are going to come over. You can't even ask for a person off. So, I'm showing them how to begin to do the work to make the next position
the third and fourth panel session during the panel, really during the downfall, that's really looking at the moments of the cures and, you know, some of our problem indicators and lessons and some of the strategies for the work. And the idea behind a really great performance measure or is that it focuses you on improving your work product so that you're making sure you're meeting your organizational goals. And, you know, for example, I'm looking at the Department of Health and Social Services, and they have, you know, an indicator number of things for protecting vulnerable Alaskans. They have some good ones in terms of, you know, measuring the ways that we, you know, manage our Office of Health and Services, for example. I don't know if we've made any improvements on any of those metrics in many years, and so using that, you know, using these as a guide to get a little bit higher, but above kind of the running out of the annual sort of data work, and then, you know, eliminating some extreme writing processes. One of the categories that it identifies as a target under that category is the cost of administering the background check program, and I'm not really sure what that has to do at all with actually protecting vulnerable losses. We should be trying to be positioned at that point, so it's maybe a community or even more at the supervision, you know, higher level management discussion rather than how is it that we're protecting, you know, vulnerable Alaskans. And I think, you know, it is really important as you're describing with your center to sort of the annual budget process that, you know, it's, you know, it appears that what we're doing is continuing to change around the annual budget process rather than getting up a little bit higher and asking ourselves, you know, what should we be doing and how we should be doing it to ensure that Alaska's ability to meet their needs and government's role is to sort of, you know, the community in which people thrive and succeed and, you know, businesses succeed and individual Alaskans succeed. And if we're never getting to the point where we're actually examining what we're doing, why we're doing it, should we continue to be doing it, what should we, what if we want those who do other things better? I think, you know, we come back with sort of, you know, innovation, use of resources, which is one of the things that this committee is very, very interested in. Representative Newsom, I just want to take a little break and ask you if you have any questions from the future senator before we go back to the future senator.
Okay,
all right, thanks so much. All right, go ahead.
I'm not a kind of super voter, I would like to ask before we defer with some questions. So,
the value of the PowerPoint.
The value of the PowerPoint, I keep leaving it for you guys. So really, the point I was trying to make in like the process, the budget process, and where performance meetings and where the discussion of, you know, measuring measures, accomplishments that might tie out to the budget we actually put together. You know, it happens during the process, and there is, you know, deliberate work involved and deliverables involved in putting together that budget book at the end of the process. But the main focus during the budget development process really is on those iterative, you know, changes. The change year over year. That's where the bulk of the, you know, the energy and the focus, and that's what's going to be discussed most during legislative session. And so the production of the other documentary materials, those are sort of a side project of the process, with varying levels of focus depending upon, you know, how the permanent structure and how the message that they want to send with those documents. Or whether or even speaking about those as an energy tool about, you know, their accomplishments and challenges. And so we see a lot of very wide variation in, you know, in what's put forward in those documents, which ultimately are, you know, they come to normally towards the end of November, early December in the process. And there are also things that last night that will be a target zero, that will be a reviewing before we release the budget on December 15th. But if that's a budget book, you can actually do with the budget on the 15th. You're just doing in the end of any time period between then and the third session. But like session, I'm going to take a look at the fourth session to start that through if it's 3 or 5. So that production
process, but ultimately in this bill, that end product that describes what the department has been doing through delivery of mission, that gives you all of these different required reports in addition to the negative information. And so that's a lot of what the Executive Mission Act is right now, is listing out required reports and public expression books. So we have, the various points of financial information that are requested by the legislators through that statute that are included. That makes up probably two-thirds of the overall volume in that, in addition to the narrative information describing the department's accomplishments or challenges. And then from there, we get to the start of the legislative budget process and the start of session where we come in and primarily talk about those iterative changes and the change updates and what we're changing and what is there going to be much more relief. Over my career in the B-side process before, kind of years, at times it felt like a lot of work going into a document that I never got questions about. And then, there's been times that we've had conversations, that we sometimes find it for never thought about that people were really looking at. And so, just not necessarily the generating questions out of it. So it's really hard as it's good out there, and we don't necessarily hear a lot about it. We hear a lot about the safety risks. We have a lot of groups on questions about your dialogue with that, not as much about the narrative discussion of the tribal needs of an individual component. But I think in the community process, the departments are probably experiencing this many different ways than IOB is, and receiving questions and having dialogue with, committee members and committee member staff about what's happening in those documents. I have occasionally seen people carrying around much of rather than how do you see that is being looked at and used. Have had conversations, long conversations with individual legislators about information they find in them. So I do think they're being used. I do think they could be improved. And I think that, like I said earlier, work products only as good as the effort that goes in and the engagement from the consumer of the product. I think those are the facts that you're talking about this bill. I guess the perspective of the consumer, of which and subcommittees, readers, and legislative subcommittees, I guess my budget with the other reports, many are not, is to follow what other things, basic budget, as you mentioned, and it's not follow the feed. And there is responsibilities, sometimes we have subcommittees who much younger on the table than the other time. So, and it's very hard for the consumer to see all this data being produced and reports are probably a lot of good information. And I mean, it's not, we're just disappointing in many of our countries. So, I would be, honest and I appreciate the work that's been done. Behavioral health, and so we want to use that. And
look at what departments might bring forward, but you're listening to the discussions, and, you know, obviously you work with the community or the legislature, and you'd like to see those things resourced and standardized. But you need to see those things have been resourced or have been cut out of the budget. And I just hope I'm wondering to really expand on the overall vision of the departments. I'd like to hear something about public health, which means that there's one about every social worker's health care, and then we have another one that was vetoed, and now it's being funded by the administration. How much input is taken in by our managers, so to speak? I hear this resounding message and voice, and we should really consider finding that in hopes that we will have a downturn in, say, the opioid abuse or the challenging vape cases, because they're more functioning and our children are being neglected.
So, the children are upset this morning. That's a lot of release, yeah. Deliberative process that we go through during, you know, between sessions working through that advice of the program managers that flows up to the division directors, that flows up to the commissioner, you know, talking to the governor, and then some calls also to the governor might talk to the program manager and get more information. And, you know, that organizational structure, you know, works through this process because OMB may be, you know, waiting for the department to set their other recommendation internally in the department. They're figuring out what's going on with their divisions to understand, you know, what is an objective from the government to improve. And what can you do to improve that versus that, you know, subjective services? That's a good example that you bring up. You know, the directive from the government that is discussed, at least in the division director and the program managers, to, you know, this is where we see the most, you know, we think the most benefit for the dollar investing in this system. So those conversations happen and fall up. So there is room in the current process, and there's, you know, room there. It's not, you know, necessarily reflected in the budget book itself. Often, you know, it's something that I don't think that will happen, but it won't necessarily get the money to pull it from the document. There's definitely always room in the process, but what about that back and forth and that feedback and that trying to, you know, meet existing challenges? I think I can pass right off. You know, sometimes the performance measures don't necessarily get to the heart of the actual delivery of the services or the need of the community. I don't know if I'm going to answer your question or.
Information of the issue, and I think, you know, the discussion on this topic is interesting. I appreciate your generosity with your candidate, and that you and your team worked very hard for this meeting. Increasing the budget is a pretty concentrated effort, and I want to be really clear that we appreciate the work that you do and your team, and that, you know, the administrative services directors, through the state, and the professionals that manage budgeting for the state too. And, you know, this is completely concerning, you know, how is that we are making the right decisions of our resources, and that's one of the things that I understand is the relationship between the performance, between performance and the budget. And it sounds like there are opportunities for us to address this and represent your confidence. Thank you very much for your time. If you want to make any additional comments before you say goodbye.
Thank you for having me here, and, you know, my time spent on this shining light on these things is going to improve them. Looking at my own budget box and how I know I need to improve it, showing why I'm having these conversations is how we'll get a better process. So I really appreciate the company spending time discussing this issue and trying to improve the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time today. You've been very generous. And with that, we're going to transition over to the director of the county, which is Tom Stephen, who's Representative Kaufman, who will pass briefly through his presentation to a sectional analysis from the bill, Representative Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative James Kaufman, South Hampton, and also a retired quality manager. It's I'm being here to talk about this today. So that one, thank the chair and the committee for hearing this bill. And I'll start with a sponsor statement. The Alaska is often in the news for the wrong reasons. When it comes to national rankings of states by performance metrics and cases out of areas, we often give those to the bottom. This includes critical areas such as education, health, and public safety. We spend billions of the day to serve a relatively small population, but somehow improvements seems elusive and sometimes impossible to achieve. We live in a beautiful and truly amazing state, but the performance of our state programs has not done justice to our unbounded potential. The main reason for this is that the state of Alaska is a vast and complex multi-billion-dollar enterprise that does not have a well-developed and fully integrated operations management system and quality management system, sometimes known as RMS. We have fragments of what an appropriate enterprise scale performance management system might look like, but not something that can hardly would be expected in other endeavors of our magnitude. So the question is, how can we start to drive a higher level of performance, rising to meet our many challenges, while successfully improving the cost-benefit ratio of our programs? Fortunately, the answer to that question is available and has been successfully implemented by high-performing organizations in both the public and private sector. We have referenced and adapted those systems in the creation of HB 376. So what is HB 376 and how can it drive a beneficial transformation? HB 376 revises the Executive Budget Act, or EBA, for under the new system, every annual budgeting cycle will occur within the framework of a four-year strategic plan. Biannual strategic plan updates and a one-year performance management execution plan. The people managing and doing the work will set the goals, objectives, and key performance metrics to meet legislative intent that is confirmed with every budget cycle. The legislature will fund budgets that are aligned with strategic and performance management plans. Switching to this form of planning, budgeting, and performance management will put us on a much better path towards a leaner and stronger future. Our OMS will guide how our enterprise runs, while the QMS will address how we continue to improve and how improvements are sustained. To be clear, HB 376 does not provide a distinct cure for all problems, but by reforming the EBA, which is the foundation of every plan, drainage, measure, and funder programs, we will be able to pursue other more comprehensive continuing improvement processes that will lead to better outcomes. Thank you.
All right, performance while successfully improving our overall cost management ratio.
when we started, what was the executive budget act where we thought budgeting performance and this 6 and 5 and 7 on the public finance, chapter 7 is the executive budget act. And this is the statement of policy which we're having to, which the bills are proposed to change as part of this. Is a brief overview. It is the purpose of this chapter to establish a comprehensive system for state program and financial management that furthers the capacity of the governor and legislature to plan and finance the services that they determine the state will provide for its citizens. So, the executive budget act describes the role of the legislature, obligating the governor, budgeting the program execution process. And there are two sections which are deemed as critical performance. 37.07.050. Which describes a lot of what comes into the budget books currently and the roles and responsibilities for issuing side mission statements and desired results, and program execution, which states that the executive branch still has full authority for executing programs. The proposed future state, House Bill 376, changes some of the responsibilities, saying that mission statements and desired results. Currently, they're issued by the legislature, but as you saw that, as much as is not written in statute, on the executive branch, people are closer to doing the work, closer to customers and the services, and having them publicize their measures and results and targets so that they have ownership over them. And then it also changes the planning framework and breaks out 37.07.050 into a few different sections to increase the organization. With currently 850. And it starts from the top with governor setting statewide priorities. New 6 long term priorities set by the governor. And these can be high level. Then strategic plans for each agency that list the mission, goals, and objectives. Mission can be set in statute or for some units of the agency and also something themselves if they're not set in statute. And the annual plans are the performance plans and the management plans. Performance plans starting the program structure and performance history targets, and financial plans stating financial history and budget information. And also, the data transparency and the quarterly performance reports, which report on measures, targets, and any results that are being added throughout the year. And then all plans and reports are posted on a single corporate website. Just a little graphic depicting the hierarchy of planning, starting from statewide priorities at the top, leading to being executed through mission statements, and goals and objectives for agency strategic plans, forming plans up to every 2 years, the first coming at the beginning of the gubernatorial term, and then annually performance and financial plans, which are annual plans, but the performance measures are tied to objectives, and then financial history and budget information should be worked alongside the performance measures. So a quick overview of some of the structural changes that should be proposed to the Executive Budget Act. A tiny change of 37.07.016 that in reference to strategic plans and performance plans. And then a final change to 37.07.050 that reference to strategic plans. And the goal of this, as I mentioned before, was to refocus this text on strategic plans and break out what's currently listed as necessary for the budget books, changes the title to maybe some of the performance and financial information to the right sections to better organize that. And then in this section, 055, for specific requirements for board and commissions, so they don't necessarily require to either on strategic plan, performance plan, and financial plan. An operations plan and financial information for a budget. And then a new section, 085, to describe the annual plans. A brief overview of what would be in agency strategic plans. Current strategic plans are at the beginning of each gubernatorial term and updated at least once every 2 years. Four-year planning cycle, updated at least every 2 years. And describes the strategic plan mission statement. 36 goals for an agency, which we add a definition for goals, specific, measurable, realistic, and timely objectives, and there's a definition for objectives, design, and development. some things which are currently advisory methods of gathering user group opinions, operations are by the agency that is affecting the population, and key external factors require the citizen and regulatory changes. If that's something that's needed in order to complete those goals and objectives. The annual plans, these are submitted to the legislature by December 15th each year. Incentivize planning for performance alongside the budgeting process. They should include a description of the agency's program structure and proposed changes to the program structure, saying, here's how we need to organize in order to achieve these goals and objectives, identification of each program's constitutional or statutory authority, defining your program as clearly as possible, the program purpose statement to describe the services provided, customers served by those services, and the benefit or intended outcome of the program. And performance measures align with the strategic plan and stating which goals and objectives each performance measure will be tied to and reinforced by hierarchy. The results for each performance measure over the past 4 years is available, and then performance targets for each measure for the next fiscal year. The other annual plan and the new section of .085 is financial plans submitted to the legislature the same day. December 15th of each year. These revenue and expenditure history for the prior 4 fiscal years, breakdowns of each revenue source and expenditure, and amount expended on each type of expenditure, estimates for the current next fiscal year, the budget requested for the succeeding fiscal year, number of positions, cost of services, reports of receipts made last year, and estimates for the current next year, and then any other information required by office management. And the new boards and commissions section is a section specific for boards and commissions, requiring a financial plan and operations plan. Which is currently required for boards and commissions. You just don't want to have any requirements from a strategic plan and performance plan. So the financial plan includes budget requested for this year, expenditures for last year, authorized for this year, and proposed for next year, and an explanation of the services that are provided. Can be provided by the corporation for next year, including the need and the cost of services, total positions, and report of receipts, and then any identified legislative mechanisms required for that board and commission. So the boards and commissions will see when provide plans for operation programs, new development of the boards and commissions, some various size and complexity to define what's in that operations plan. So the development of the measure results in various size and complexity of boards and commissions to sort of leave it open for that to develop that method. And then upon termination of the board and commission, the agency pretty much the board and commission to close that report, then it's going to be required to come up to a corner section of that 055. So to reiterate some of the benefits, align the strategies of all agencies with the governor's statewide priorities, which are publicized. Interlink short-term tactics with annual plans, tactics and funding to new management development strategy, which is again in line with the governor's statewide priorities. And push responsibility for defining measures and targets to the executive branch, should the people place this in place management of services, and people have a clear mechanism for changing those desired results and measures and targets. Reduced duplication of goal setting and financial information at a program or component level, because the planning will be led by department level and divisions and programs should be contributing to the department plan. Increase the level of detail regarding program structure and program definition, that will be contributing to the department plan, providing that a method to the performance plan to define the program structure, describe it. And just randomly propose changes to better serve the machine and achieve the goals and objectives. And then just some examples, the federal government has passed on the Government Performance and Results Act and then the GPRA Modernization Act in turn. So this is a link to the Government Accountability Office has a good summary of that. Arizona has extensive strategic planning. North Carolina has pretty good at the strategic planning. New Mexico has been investing heavily React, which is really good at program definition, the program structure. And then there's a bunch of, this is a short list, but there's a bunch of states of being as well, and a bunch of other guides by external organizations. And then you just have some things from the Department of Defense as DPPE, is their program that they call it. And it's basically saying, y-axis there is goal. So how do we plan for a goal? There's 5 years left, how do we plan for a goal? And we're programming our way back to the plan. This is from,
we can go back to this one. Like, I really like this one. So, planning and program, I think, with future years in defense. So, they're, yeah, defense is trying to anticipate where should we be defensively at that point in time. Yeah. So, so you're actually measuring a goal. So there's a lot of argument about money. What I like about this is it's actually talking about, you know, where we actually need to be looking at that strategically over that time period. So I just didn't want to break the slide by. It's kind of a critical point. Thank you.
This is from the Standard for Portfolio Management, the Project Management Institute, professional organization. Global Standards for Project Portfolio Management. Just trying to see the hard work and the vision concern meeting down to management of operations and programs and projects. And this is from the federal government, the result of the PQRA mandate. It's the vision of their hierarchy of planning from mission goals, objectives, performance indicators, and then different types of outcome input, efficiency indicators, quality values. This is out of OMB's guidance at the federal level. Much of this section is adding reference to strategies for strategic plans. That's section one. The main reference to the buffer request, supporting information, moving to Y085, and the buzzes. Then section two is including references to strategic planning strategies and multiple planning periods. Section three is a change of responsibility to remove issuance and desired results. The legislature's responsibility to replace the purpose of the performance plan, which is where the agencies will define their desired results. Section four is revisions to the responsibility of the legislature. Rules of language for directing the legislature to adopt a method of measuring results. In the sub-bullet, there's not clearly an adopting this method of measuring results, so that they do not often change unless the agencies do that for the budget plan. And it replaces the setting of reporting requirement with reference to F14F, which is where the requirement for a quarterly performance report is added. To a strategic plan. Section 5 replaces operating portfolio with strategic plans and financial plans, which is operationally what will become an operating program, as it's currently referenced in section. Section 6 adds portfolio references to strategic planning, clarifies the legislature's role to authorize the budgets required to implement these performance plans, and reinforces the hierarchy that we've organized the executive budget act into by having the legislature review and analyze the strategic plans and mission statements, assess how annual plans are contributing to these alternative plans, review and integrate financial plans into the performance plans, and maintain all the plans in the public available in our internet website, and ensure that they're maintained in our publicly available internet website. Section 7 helps to follow legislature responsibilities. This is again reinforcing the hierarchy created in this proposal. Allocating resources to implement multi-year plans, express program results and measurable terms, measure progress towards multi-year plans and other results, promote activities consistent with the multi-year plans that reduce future costs, planning for both short and long term, require Section 8, the Revenue Boards and Commissions Release Section in the Community Division, 55, Boards and Commissions Specific Section. Section 9, that reference to strategies, strategic plans, performance plans, directs governor to review these and require BOMB to revise them if necessary. States that they shall be used to implement and execute the law, performance plans shall be used to achieve desired results of strategic plans and mission statements. Section 10, that reference to the exception to the plan. Section 11, that's the new plan is to lift. Removes reference to OMB's responsibility for administration of state agency program performance management system because of the other changes that are happening in EMEA. It adds three new subsections, including five of the hierarchy, compiling strategic plans, performance plans, and quarterly reports to the financial governor. Section 12, number of even five minutes, the strategic plan section, so it has specific requirements for what should be in the strategic plan, the mechanics, and the rules of development, autonomy, review, and ensuring consistency with other level plans, and reviewing the performance plans and ensuring consistency with the strategic plans. Section 13 is the Boards and Commissions section, which kind of already reviewed that as well. Budget information, receipt information, being part of the legislation, the financial plan, and then operations plan, basically saying that it shall submit an operations plan and the data described by OMB, OMB will help in the development of that. Has a due date, information from those commissions for OMB's public information, and then appropriations request for fiscal years following termination, so a closeout report and what needs to be included in there. Also, commissions shall develop methods for measuring agency results. Section 14 is a governor's recommendation. This is where the requirement for the governor to identify 3 to 5 statewide priorities to guide strategic and annual planning. So, and then it adds reference to new planning strategies for the new planning structure and removes the previously used terminology about mission and desired results. Section 15 is a new subsection to Chapter 60, which requires the governor to present the strategic plans and mission statements in a joint session. Similar to the same state, it's at the same deadline, so those can be combined. Section 16, legislative review, again, adds the new structure of planning reference to strategies and strategic planning. Section 17 is program execution, adds a reference and removes desired results, adds an exception to the agency's authority to execute their programs. Section 18 clarifies salary increases must be in accordance with strategic and performance plans, which will be out under option A. And Section 19 is a big section that takes a lot of what was in 0.09 and removes it in any way, as mentioned in the slide. So the performance of financial plans, annual plans, due December 15th of each year, with the performance plan describing program information and performance information, the financial plan showing what's needed in order to budget and reach those performance targets. This also describes once each calendar quarter, each agency was prepared to present a performance report, and that's only when an application of performance measures and related goals and objectives or results for each performance measure in progress towards the target. Seeing quarterly report that they're all public information, performance plans are developed with employee participation, and they're available on the public in our website. Section 20 is where new definitions are added for a goal, objective, performance measure. A goal being broad statement generally describing a desired outcome for an agency or a program of the agency. And objective being a subset of that, a measurable target. Describes the result of a service or program is expected to accomplish in a given amount of time. And performance measure, a quantifiable and enduring measure, one of the
enhancing or effectiveness of your service. The strategic plan, referencing the new section for revised section. Section 21, 22, and 23 are just removing reference in the performance audit sections, removing reference of the previously used strategic measures method or agency priorities methods, which were previously used. That is the whole section.
All right. Thank you for any questions. All right, Representative Sharp, can you hold on? Please travel.
I found that the executive has become a legislator for a
approval of those principles that they just set for themselves. I mean, to some extent, in theory, they've maintained that areas of the legislature should just be removed from that process, but maybe a misunderstanding. Thank you.
For sure, I'm sure you have the annual budgeting process in which you're not just the goal, but the implementation of it. The idea is that becomes a more vibrant discussion, rather than just saying, well, we spent this last year, we spent this, and that kind of idea of trying to get into a more lean, use that term, lean to say a more focused, more effective, with less flop around the discussion of actually achieving desired results. So, what was the message? What was the outcome? What did you measure? How well did you use the funding that was available to do what you said you would do? And how were you going to do? Did not meet that target? How are you going to meet that target in the future? At a very high level, you can say that the orientation of the programs are created or designed into the legislation itself that creates the program. And we create a program. There is a legislative intent on what it does, but that is the regular, how are you going to get this done? How are you going to do it? Flowing down from a high level strategic direction that's set with each chief executive that comes in, how will they're going to try and perform within the structure of that agency and the programs that it's managing. So I don't believe that the legislature would be in the picture. It'll be a different role, more like a board. Chief executive, we're all sitting on the board of chief executives now. We all understand that, what the measurement is, and what we're judging is how well that measurement is being implemented. Issues of mission and desired results. There are a number of departments and subunits of agencies which have their mission satisfaction and programs defined as action and legislative intent. So that will be defined still. And the program execution part of the Executive Budget Act still says that the role of the executive branch is to execute the laws as written by the legislature so that they'll fulfill that intent. But the goals and objectives and performance measures and targets will be set by the executive branch for how can we best fulfill the legislative intent. And they're using the initial statements, many of them are set by the legislature in statutes. So it is reviewing the words statements of mission and desired results and setting up a performance system, but taking the performance system in an EDU. And the mission and legislative intent of programs will still be in statute.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Another question. This is another representative of North Florida. North Florida, North Carolina. And as Mr. Chandler mentioned, they've given a lot of reports, a lot of these reports that were required by the legislature. We've only been on this for 1 year.
concerned about it, with a two-year update with an annual report and a quarterly report. There's a lot later going into this stuff, so I'm assuming that there's a lot of like additional labor requirements. I guess my one question would be, the boards and commissions seem to be in a particular bit with that. A lot of their requirements, if you look at them formally, would be the similar to what other individual departments would think. And one of the common would be how much they spent this year, how much they spent last year, and boards and commissions have a particular problem that you're trying to solve.
Through this year, no, the breaking out the boards and commissions, and like we did here, pull that.
This is basically what we do now. We just don't want to put them in strategic plans, financial plans, and performance plans as agencies are required to do. And that's why we have strategic plans. Their desired results require annually currently. So we're kind of taking it back to where they only need to do it on a longer term cycle. And then with the performance plans, that is done slightly, which it can take. Depending on the size of the agency, you can take a long time or a long time to set your performance measures and targets. But with the financial information and that being worked at the same time and then taking some of that out, it's more an organization of what's currently not a file, but an agency program, financial plans, and business statement section. Kind of just puts all of this in one section by organizing it and everything's covered in longer term. It doesn't have to be something that we're every other year and play for 4 years. It's not necessarily a new report. It's spreading out into longer term cadence for reporting some of that, for planning and reporting some of that information.
Sure, I guess I didn't know that all of this was required already. They're sort of reorganizing it. Some of this stuff seems more applicable on the corporate side with CEOs and boards that don't change every 2 years or 4 years, and there's not that much tension between components of the organization as there is here, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. We're not trying to be, trying to have as many buildings as we can this year to measure our performance. Really, but some that perhaps should be followed through. So I don't know that that necessarily would work under this
seemed to my record, because that matches the election cycle.
proposal to the legislature and review that as the best
meaning in a sense, but the saying goes, as the legislature is defining the process of the management of the program, you want to understand how well you want to assess the review and analyze it. So you're limiting the strategic by official statement and understanding it within the context of the annual budget cycle.
Sure. I think that external sort of clarified one of the things that we had to do the bill proposes to remove the results-based management and the planning process out of the legislature, so you can do the administration of the assets, and they do the operations and the execution of the administration, which makes a lot of sense to me. I think having the legislature do that doesn't actually make sense to me. It belongs in the administration. But it looks to me that we're talking about asking the legislature to implement something that is being proposed by the administration. And in terms of operations, it makes more sense to me that the administration do that, that the legislature approves or disapproves that. But we don't actually do implementation of the legislature, right?
Matthew Martin, staff representative Kaufman. Bone Dean was somebody responsible for producing, evaluating, and working with the agencies on producing the performance plan, the financial plan, but the legislature was also responsible for the preparation process, which will be funding parts or the whole or more of the financial plan to ensure that you can meet the legislative intent, the legislative set, statutory set, mission statements, and ensure that you can actually execute the performance plan, which will include the program structure and performance measures. So if you fund parts of the financial plan that contains the program structure, which will mean that they would have to come back with an update on the performance plan and the financial plan, similar to what they currently do with the compromise budget and the management plan, after it passes conference committee, the financial plan could change, might be able to change, which means that they would have to come back and authorize performance plan and financial plan.
Yeah, I think that identifies the key, I think that identifies one of the tensions in this planning process is that you can get into situations where the administration will approve a plan and put something forward before the legislature. The legislature would say, that's the first step, buddy. And there's just one of the interesting tensions in government is actually that it's designed to be efficient in some respects because we've got these sort of three branches, we make it very difficult to be efficient in the legislature. Representative Kaufman, do you remember that representative?
If you're just coming out of a recent example, Ms. Warren, you know, came in, we had climate findings, and the year of the audit finding was to hire two personnel to provide a certain function. And so one of the things that we did in that recently was to surface that and make sure that there was an awareness of that in the finance subcommittee so that it wasn't seen as well you decided stuff for no reason that was linked to the audit findings. What you're saying right there couldn't happen. But the fact that it did there was the challenge in part was because we had gone around and made people aware of the community finding and that it was all the information that we were seeking with those positions. So that's the example where having that analysis or understanding it in the legislature helps us be able to agree with the attempt to challenge.
Thank you. Different formats and structure in all of this. I don't think the annual government is kind of a pretty complete package. I mean, I don't know if it is complex, which was said earlier, and my entering parts that might seem small, but I don't know if it's my priorities to me for this to be really working for long term success. And the trap would be really wide, and it would be the governor, the legislature, in that. Represent the people, the governor together might take longer, but we would need to come up with what our statewide priorities are and our goals, because we are equal bodies of governance. And then through that, the government can't be different. about how you get to that way. But if you have more goals, you have to have the time to deviate so long with the administrations. Because you have more commonalities and all that. So I think that was just something to be thinking about. And the time to do that, maybe control the governors and commissions and executive director. They're all spending time together to come up with a plan to implement. And I think it was strategic planning and nonprofits and the school districts. The superintendent was just doing the plan with the board members and community and observers. It might sound idealistic, but there would be messy work in the statewide education plan. There was no responsible for some of the people who put in and then I think we might be using the money and dollars in different ways, because when you look at performance measures and really evaluating something, that's where there is money that really is needed. If you're going to truly evaluate something in a really thoughtful way where you can get good data and again, coming back on our mission and different programs that way to use this. It costs a lot of money to do evaluation, but it's truly nowadays, for lack of a better word, another term, maybe broadband and some evaluations for different programs will be more expensive, and we can want a better teacher versus doing more evaluation. So I just don't like that, because I do think that you're really trying to measure some of those, particularly our human needs. I was using prevention work here under Earth and Social Services. It really takes some commitment of whoever needs to do that. Oftentimes, you don't see that happening on that level. And I appreciate all the thoughts in your mind. And just one more question, just to think about that. I was just curious, what is the private state corporations? And are they down from the municipal?
Exactly, the Budget Act applies to not all state corporations. It includes the state of Alaska, but not include the Alaska Railroad Corporation, which is not subject to the Executive Budget Act. As an example, I can get back to you if I'm just a list of corporations.
Okay, because there's all kinds of what you guys want with that, and also just a different top structure. If you can follow me that last after a couple of words in the comment, it is your last chance to make closing remarks right now because we're not
at it.
I
just want to say, through the chair, I'm sorry, I appreciate the bill. Thank you. The bond measures, the metrics, it's not easy. And what happens is you spend a lot of time and effort measuring the wrong thing. So there's a huge cultural opportunity. You call the challenge or you call the opportunity to get better at measuring performance. Earlier, it was said that the goal is to reduce cost. Really, the goal is to improve, you know, not to use the term, invest. But if we're not sharing value, then this value really is really just to make sure that we're getting the value out of that money, but then we're also getting the value out of the opportunity. Every inefficient thing that we have has a high opportunity cost, not just monetary cost, and that's a big part of it. But then I lived a better career in quality management. It was actually the human side of it. You could go off and improve somebody's well-being and their job simply by coming in and finding the right things and fixing the right things. So sometimes it's directly about the output. You know, you're making widgets, and how many widgets are you making? But when you get down to the quality of those widgets, a lot of them is at the human side, what's going on inside the organization that's making those widgets. You have to get all work together well. And that's really the opportunity and the challenge with this bill. We look at where could we go to try and get a better process management piece put in our state government. And it turns out this is the kids who said it. It was something that had been created and adopted over time, and it needed
on our website. This is where we landed. That has been the place that we can start kind of the work. We know it's going to be a long haul. And I really appreciate this discussion. And because if we're talking about how to improve outcomes with the energy and time and the opportunities that we have, I'm there for the conversation. So I really want to thank the chair and the committee for doing this. I know it's challenging, but trying to transform where we're at now into a high performing organization that is the headlines start to be where people are coming to the ask to find out how are you doing this? This is amazing. Don't let the world fund. That's an example of excellence in our system. And the reason why is that they were able to really adopt an enterprise management type model where they're really able to do it. There's opportunities in other sectors that are government as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much to you, Mr. Chairman, for your presentation today and for introducing this legislation. And I'm a local business chair and community expert and architect. Special committee, and Rosie Means will is adjourned.